Welcome to the Museum of Mysteries Archival Audio Records. What you are about to hear is the voice recordings of Dr. Indigo Pigeon Hale, donated to the museum with generous support by Opal Hale and Seraphim Feldman Rodriguez, as well as generously underwritten by the Lavender Lemonade Collective. This is the fifth installment, titled Reminiscing Worth a Thousand Words. We'd like to warn our listeners of a brief mention of suicidal thoughts. We will link the timestamps in the description. We hope you enjoy your visit.
June 15th. For the first time in 4 years, I am alone on this day. To put matters plainly, yes, this is my anniversary day. I was married 4 years ago. This was the same day that the Kaufman tape was recorded, many years before that. Those two things are heavy on my mind. Two parallel events that changed the course of my life, that put me on my path. My path to the end. I had previously said I intended not to mope, but I also had previously said I would be home for my anniversary, and now that feels like a lie. Not feels like. Is a lie. Furthermore, my entire body has been burnt to a crisp by the angry sun, so I'm going to have to stay inside the cave for the next few days. Which is fitting, is it not? Even as I am mentally ready to give up and go home, forget all about the star shell and see my wife and girlfriend. I couldn't. My body has betrayed me, and my mind has betrayed me, and I have betrayed them. A promise I would not go too far. Surely they had the base knowledge about me, that even if I didn't want to, my instincts could not stop me from making a mess of this whole journey. You can't be frugal when trying to be historical and use a scientific method. You simply can't. This journey was doomed from the start, and I along with it. I'm not home, nor am I close. Frankly, I haven't even found the shell. So what's the point of it all? Was this a worthwhile endeavor, or did I just allow this to take me over? I am a foolish creature with foolish dreams, and I no longer feel a call to action. I just feel bad. No, bad is not the way to handle my feelings. Bad lacks specificity. I don't feel bad. I feel melancholic. I feel like my body is being turned inside out, and things I once asked myself to care about are worthless. That I, as a person, am worthless? This line of thinking makes me upset, but I can't change my thought. All the positive thinking in the world can't fight this feeling inside me. This absolute misery of being alone for the rest of my life. I haven't seen Apple in a few days. Perhaps she can sense my sad demeanor. I think she finds me less fun when I'm melancholic. I can imagine why, but I had grown to love her company, and to not have it now is turning my stomach in knots. I suppose many things are doing that, but she should be added to the list of things that once made my life slightly better, and now I feel as though are upsetting me. I shouldn't be so callous, I know. I should use this time to be happy, to remember joy. To make an active choice to try to be full of light, full of fondness. It is not an easy one. I am not infallible. The person who came here made an active choice to come alone, and now the person who is here is saddened by it. Nope, saddened makes too light of the issue. I am devastated. I am so morose that the sky should be weeping in my presence. For the time being, it feels like the sun has flown from my life, and there is a logical part of me that knows I can still find a way out. But let's throw that piece away for a moment. I am still here, still moving along, but at what cost? I am alone. The people I love more than myself are not around me, and even if I survive long enough to make it to land, then what? I know I have worried the people I love. Not on purpose, but at this point, surely, they think I've died. Surely they are afraid they will never recover my body. I am the optimist of the bunch. Perhaps they have already steeled themselves that I am not returning, or that I ran away because of them. If you find this, I did none of these things. Like Odysseus, my hubris has won. You both warned me I should try to avoid being a man from ancient Greece, too proud to see fault in my own mind. And I have been humbled. If this is some sort of divine justice, please know I have been humbled. I am just a person. I cannot change the course of the world. I just want to go home. I want to tear up this photo of us, this photo of three joyful people, but I can't. I can't. There's no real physical features of death settling into my body. I touch my jaw and it's more angular than it was upon arrival. I am gaunt, but I still have rolls in my tummy and my skirt does not fall at the waist. I am finding food almost every day, and this water bottle Pim gave me has kept me hydrated. I just no longer feel warmth. It is June. Surely I feel warmth, of course. The sun is hot, and my skin has turned to leather where my sleeves and wrists meet. Opal laughed at my long sleeves when I brought them. She told me that it would be plenty hot wherever I went, and that sunscreen would protect me. But I am so easy to burn, and even in the adventure I imagined this would be, I had sunburn. I am trying to hydrate as much as I can to avoid it, but it is unavoidable. Besides, this is not the adventure I'd imagined. I was foolish when I planned this. If I knew then what I know now, I'd never have done this quest. It feels hopeless. I mean, you understand that, right? That it feels hopeless? Maybe it is. Maybe this is on the verge of fringe science, and maybe in some way, I came out here to be alone, to really sit with myself in a way I had never before had a chance to. This moment is my sabbatical, without the religious implication. I am allowed to be afraid of this, I suppose. I am allowed to be worried about this. Absolutely. Do people often feel like they're lost on sabbaticals? I suppose it doesn't help that I physically am actually lost. I mean, I know where I am on the island. I'm in my cave, festering. But where am I in the world? I think somewhere off the coast of South America, but that is a big continent. Even if I knew where I was, I would not be able to get back to my country of origin. I would not be able to get back to my home on my own. The boat is ill-equipped, and I am not a good pilot. I made it out here out of sheer luck, I suppose. I have been foolish, and I will continue to be. I suppose it's only a matter of time before I decide to recklessly try and make my way home. I do not think I will find the star shell. I want to, but to be honest, I think it's lost to me. Lost to the world? As much as I want to make my mark on history, I will not be memorable. Perhaps in the way of Chris McCandless, a cautionary tale on all the ways one can fail out on their own, the crabs of this island will tell you all the ways I did it wrong. I do not wish to be remembered like that. In my own story, of course, I want to win. Some of us are destined to live, having never done anything great. I'm starting to believe that about myself. I'm starting to see that it would be okay if I could make my way home, because at home, I have done the greatest thing one can possibly do, and I have taken it for granted. I have fallen in love and allowed two people to fall in love with me, wholly and completely, and I threw that all away, left them with a few silly voicemails that I'm sure incited fear and made them pick up the pieces without me. If I do not figure this out, then I do not know what I'll do. I only know that it will hurt them. If it is not clear, I'm worried about Opal and Pim. I'm worried they are consumed with melancholy. Selfishly, I'm worried they aren't. Which is only a small part of my brain, a secret compartment that rears its ugly head. I don't want them to miss me so much it's incapacitating. But at the same time, I miss them so much it's incapacitating. Apple, I was wondering how you've been. She hath returned. Did you sense my impending nihilism? Is that what has driven you away? Or is it the fact that I do not look like myself? A full-body sunburn has taken over. My face is burning. My neck has crackled and peeled. I smell like I'm melting. My hands, with their lack of gloves, have been burnt for weeks now. And my calves, the swish and flow of my skirt, have managed to stay pink on and off for the better part of my time here, too. But when one mistakenly unbuttons the top few buttons of a shirt, one should expect to burn on their décolletage. My face even goes back and forth between burning and peeling. I feel like I have become gaunt, if only by the skin I have lost on my face. I am hoping to be able to spend the rest of the week in this cave, and then perhaps I will set out. Do you not want me to set out? Truth be told, I don't really want to either, but let's be honest. It's time. I no longer belong here. I am ready to die. I feel as though I am. Mentally, I could allow myself to be consumed in everything. But Apple, I cannot. I worked too hard to be past the point of wanting to die every time things got hard. Does that surprise you? When I was a child, I did not have it easy. I mean, it was physically easier than this. But people made fun of me. I was too much much. I do not know when, but at some point, I just internalized it all. I don't want to get into gory details or anything. But there comes a time in a person's life when you must choose to be alive. You must choose to find a version of yourself you're happy with. And Apple, I am not happy with who I am on this island. I am not happy being alone. Perhaps I will change for the better. I won't be as antisocial as I once was. Because it is impossible to be alone. I know you're here. You have been a solace to me. And if I was a lesser person, I'd bring you with me. But you belong on this island because, quite frankly, I don't know how to take care of a crab. Like, to ignore all the ethics I began this journey with, which I could not ignore for a full moment. I cannot take care of you. It is not my place to disturb the island. You are a part of the island. Come now. Don't give me that face. You are a part of the island. I'm not sure what you expect from that knowledge. You simply are. But I do not belong here. I don't think I'll ever belong to this place. I am sweaty. I am constantly hurting myself and burning myself and crying. I don't like crying. I know you've seen me cry, and I'm sure you must think I'm good at it, but I'm not. It's a very human response. I hear animals whine, but I've never seen them cry. It feels like your body is going into shock, like you're going to be fighting against yourself, and you're just gonna shrivel up and fall over. I don't really like it. It hurts to shrivel and be small. It hurts more to be nothing, you know? And crying makes you feel like nothing. Like you were letting go of all your hurt, but also letting go of your ability to fix it. I do not want to cry again. I cry too much here. I want to be more than tears. It makes sense to be more than tears and still unafraid to shed them. Opal will cry at the drop of a hat. We watch Pride and Prejudice and she's in tears and we can't tease her for it. She's crying because it's so happy that they overcame themselves to be together. She will cry when she finds her wallet because she lost it. In the Eurocentric populace, crying is considered a weakness, and I have not gotten over that. But Opal cries bravely. We go through towns we've never been in before and stop at gas stations because if we don't use the restroom now, we'll explode. And she will take my hand, tears in her eyes, because even though it's a town that the internet suggests we as gays should be afraid in, she is unafraid to love me wholly. And she makes me better at love. It is a moment like this where I need her. If she were here, she would be angry with me for getting stuck here. She would be angry, but she would be calm. She would be logical. She would be smarter than me. She and Pim would put themselves together and stop the world if they could. perhaps they have. Every time I hear a plane overhead, for the briefest moment, I picture them inside. I see them looking for me. Is that inane? I know they'll be angry when we get together. We have missed each other for too long. I said I'd be home for our anniversary, and I will not be. I am not. It is our anniversary now. Today. This moment, perhaps, marks the moment when we said I do down the aisle. Us, our families, and 20 of our closest friends watched us and danced with us. And then we went with Pim. When this sunburn has stopped taking over my body, I'll be out. If I start to sail unhealed, I'm sure it will cause more sunsickness. I don't want to be sunsick when I return. I do not want them to worry. They already will, with my thinned face and tired eyes. Eyes that are more tired than when I left. Tomorrow, if I can, I'll begin gathering the things I need. Tonight, though, I will be upset. Because I have decided. I have failed to get the star shell. The expedition was for nothing except a perspective on what matters. Except for the memories of a crab. This photo of us. It's getting dark now. I have done it. I have missed my whole anniversary. Apple, if I was more selfish, I would take you with me because Opal and Pim would love you. This one is Opal. She's my wife, the one I tell you of. She's a marine biologist, and she loves crabs. Not to eat. She just loves the way they move, the lives they lead. She cries at movies and reads Jane Austen and Charlotte Bronte. And she loves so thoroughly that I trust her with my heart completely. And this one is Pim. She's our girlfriend. She's a nurse. And she's afraid of nothing. She will laugh in the face of death, and she will kiss me with the lights on. She laughs at her own joke. They're not funny, but she laughs, and it makes you laugh anyway. She also loves in such a way that my heart is safe in her hands. She has such large hands. They're rough and cracked from the work she does, but she could keep my whole body safe in them. Surely you don't see it anymore, but this one, right here in the tweed suit, that's me. My face was more full and my skin was less pink, and I'm smiling with no fear or sadness. That is a version of me who's completely happy. What the? Apple, give that back to me. Apple. Oh. Apple has stolen my photo and is running out of the cave. Apple, stop it. She's an incredibly fast little crab, so this is going to hurt me. Let's go. I forgot to put a pair of bands on my thighs. They do not like this much movement. Goodness. Let's just... I'm trying to fixate my skirt between my legs like some sort of pseudo-pants. Why would she steal my photo? I was reminiscing! It outside the cave, and I see her again. She is climbing on me. Ow! Ouch! Please stop! She is on my head now, and I'm pulling her off, hopefully gently. My hair has become a rat's nest, so hopefully she will not get her little feet stuck in that. Ow, stop! Please just be gentle! Ow! Ow! The stars flickered out. Apple has the star shell.
Thank you for coming along. We will be releasing the next excerpt on October 7th. If you want to continue to support Deep Blue Stars, please go to deepbluestars.com or donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/lavenderlem. This exhibit was put together by Mick Coates. Please make sure to visit our feature exhibit, The Black of Fight, Inish Kapoor and Stuart Semple's Battle of Shade and Value.